Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, August 13th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a federal judge presses the state for action on fixing the sex offender program, and the proposed Minneapolis budget raises the levy, but many homeowners won't feel it. The federal judge who ruled the Minnesota sex offender program is unconstitutional earlier this summer has given the state a deadline to come up with proposals for fixing the 20-year-old program. Judge Donovan Frank also wants proposals from the offenders who brought the class action suit by August 20th. The state has until September 21st. The parties will argue their remedies on September 30th in Frank's courtroom. Dan Gustafson, attorney for about 700 people in the program, expects Frank could have an order on the proposals by mid-October.
I mean, it clearly is a signal to them that he's going to move promptly on this and that they better be prepared for that, which I think is good.
Frank says if the state proves unwilling or incapable of remedying the constitutional violations, that failure may demand a more forceful solution. He says insufficient funding is not a defense. The Minnesota Supreme Court is expanding a project to test cameras and microphones in criminal courts. Yesterday's decision is a big departure from the past, where all parties to a case had to consent before recordings were permitted. But there will still be limits. No coverage will be allowed when a jury is present, and juvenile and sex crime cases are off limits. Minsure has hired a company called Consumers Checkbook to provide side-by-side health plan comparisons on the state's insurance marketplace. Mark Zadeklik reports.
Minsure board members have pressed for a better shopping experience on Minsure. Consumers Checkbook will put together comparison tools for both individual and small business plans sold on the Minsure Exchange. The nonprofit company has worked on similar projects with other state exchanges. Minsure says it's already begun working with Consumers Checkbook and is aiming to launch the new shopping tool in early November, the month the new 2016 plans will become available for purchase. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges wants to hire more police officers, more building inspectors, and more economic development officials. Her 2016 budget proposal includes millions of dollars in new spending on everything from affordable housing to public art. But in spite of the growth in city government, the mayor says most Minneapolis homeowners won't see a property tax hike. Curtis Gilbert has more.
Minneapolis saw a record $2 billion in construction last year. Mayor Hodges says the city needs to take advantage of that building boom.
It is good that there are cranes across the sky as far as the eye can see, but it's important to remember that that doesn't automatically mean we collect more money on property taxes.
Property taxes in Minnesota don't work like the taxes on sales or income. Rather than setting a tax rate and seeing how much money rolls in, local governments decide how much money they want to collect, and that levy gets divided amongst all the property owners in the city. So to increase its spending, the city needs to raise its levy. Hodges proposes an increase of 3.4%. But thanks to all those cranes, the city's tax base has also increased. So Hodges says most homeowners won't feel the difference.
Let me repeat. With this levy, the city property taxes of nearly two-thirds of homeowners will go down.
There's other new revenue in the budget as well. The city is drawing more money than expected from its local sales tax. Meanwhile, city departments have been spending less than expected in recent years. That allowed the mayor to cut $750,000 in money that was being allocated every year, but not spent. City Council Budget Committee Chair John Quincy agrees with Hodges' approach.
We don't feel the need to tax people now for something that's not needed. So that's why each of the department budgets were scrutinized for effectiveness, and if there's a lot of unspent money, let's figure out a better way to redeploy those resources.
The proposed budget includes a long list of ideas for spending the money. There's $10 million to go toward repairing the 10th Avenue Bridge and an extra $3 million for affordable housing. Hodges wants to hire 10 building inspectors to keep up with all the construction and to keep on top of existing rental properties. The police department would get to add 9 new positions, 2 downtown beat cops, plus forensic scientists, crime analysts, and video technicians to deal with all the footage gathered by the body cameras the department is buying. Council President Barbara Johnson says the police department has suffered from a lack of civilian support staff ever since the Great Recession.
When we had the terrible budget cuts, that was one of the places that we absolutely took the meat cleaver to. And, you know, that harms the ability to be out on the street working with people.
Johnson likes the new spending Hodges highlighted in her budget speech, and that's significant. Hodges' budget proposal last year ran into trouble with a bitterly divided city council. Johnson was part of a narrow majority that scaled back the mayor's proposed spending increases. She doesn't see that repeating itself.
I think we're going to have a better budget year this year.
The council will pore over the proposal in a series of 26 hearings beginning next month. The final vote comes in December. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Minnesota is known to be one of the hot spots for Lyme disease, and the number of cases of the tick-borne disease has risen dramatically. Now a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention indicates the problem could be more widespread in the U.S. than previously realized. Lorna Benson has that story.
The number of Lyme disease cases in Minnesota has quadrupled over the past two decades to around 1,000 a year. Black-legged ticks, commonly called deer ticks, can carry the bacteria that cause Lyme disease, and their territory and numbers are growing. Dave Neitzel is a tick-borne disease specialist with the Minnesota Department of Health. He says warmer, damper weather trends and an increase in brushy areas due to logging have helped black-legged ticks flourish.
You know, places like Bemidji and Grand Rapids that didn't have big Lyme disease problems, back in the 90s, now are, a lot more in high-risk areas now.
Despite state and national requirements to track Lyme disease, a new government study suggests the illness is vastly underreported. Based on a review of health insurance claims, the CDC now estimates there are 329,000 cases of Lyme disease in the U.S. each year. That incidence rate is not far behind the prevalence of breast cancer in women. And the new findings seem to validate a similar Lyme disease estimate the agency put out last year. CDC epidemiologist Christina Nelson says the insurance claims review suggests the actual number of cases is tenfold the number physicians report. Doctors only reported 36,000 confirmed and probable cases through the agency's monitoring system in 2013. She hopes the new findings will make Lyme disease a higher priority among doctors and researchers.
If this report and these estimates encourage people to do more research on prevention and early diagnosis and treatment of Lyme disease, then that certainly would be a good thing.
But some Minnesota infectious disease experts say both physicians and patients are often too quick to label a problem as Lyme disease. And if that diagnosis turns out to be wrong, the insurance claims may not be corrected to reflect that. Dr. Gary Kravitz with Allina Health says most Lyme disease cases are diagnosed based merely on a physician's observations. He says that may produce an insurance claim for Lyme disease, but unless the diagnosis is eventually confirmed with a blood test, the problem could well be something else.
Using charge data from the office might overestimate the incidence of Lyme disease because a lot of people have a rather extremely broad notion about what constitutes Lyme disease.
Matt Hall shares that opinion. He's an infectious disease specialist at the Marshfield Clinic in central Wisconsin, another Lyme disease hot zone. His department recently reviewed Lyme disease case records from 2000 to 2010. Hall says almost half of the patients referred to the clinic for Lyme disease didn't actually have the infection. He says doctors referring patients to the specialists are often on autopilot when it comes to Lyme disease.
I tell people, if you come with a fever in Wisconsin in the summertime, you have Lyme disease.
Hall says while it's important to remind people to take precautions to prevent tick bites, he's concerned that the CDC's Lyme disease estimates are so large that they could make people even more likely to fear they have the disease.
My experience is that people think of it too often.
In Minnesota, public health experts say Lyme disease reporting isn't 100% reliable, but they say the trend over time clearly shows that Lyme disease cases are increasing as the ticks increase in numbers. Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.